Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ayoni. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ayoni, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester. And this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership. We can join our WhatsApp and get on our Instagram close friends for only £3 a month. Do you have any reviews, Ayoni?
We do. 5 stars, never stop. I look forward to this podcast every week. Feels like an extension of the conversations I have with my friends, but with way better research and humour. Would make me so sad if you ever stopped. Sad face by Emiranda 0304 via Apple Podcasts in Japan.
Better humour than your mates.
Oh no, that's mean. I'm sure it's not true either. I'm sure it's not true.
Yeah, I'm just being silly.
Thank you for the review, though.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I love you. Mm. Today, we are talking about the lesbian pop renaissance.
Lesbian pop stars are everywhere now. Everyone's a lesbian, and we are getting into it.
Why do you sound so cynical already?
I don't sound cynical. I'm excited.
So, if anyone has been keeping up with Coachella, maybe some of you went to Coachella. If so, I'd like to hear your experience because it looks fucking mental to me. You all have seen clips of Chapel Rowan's set. We should probably declare our fandom here, Gina.
Yeah, we do. We're big fans of Chapel and the Polyester team, the Polyester studio, individually as women, as fans, as music connoisseurs. We love Chapel Rowan.
We were early supporters of Miss Roan. We had a feature out with her last year. If you got the dollhouse scene, which you get if you support us, you would have seen the feature, but it's also on the website.
Yeah, I got to interview her, and we did a really cool shoot. It came out like last September, but if you just like Google Polyester Scene Chapel Rowan, it comes up.
Yeah?
Yeah, big fan. That's it, podcast over.
So Chapel Rowan's been going viral because she has released a new single. Her album came out last year around the time we featured her, The Rise and the Fall of a Midwest Princess.
Yeah, which is absolutely banger after banger.
Would you like to tell us about her as the woman that interviewed her, Gina?
So Chapel Rowan has been kind of like, I found her off TikTok. I'm not sure about anyone, how everyone else found her. I'm pretty sure it's like the same thing. Like, she's one of those people that just kind of like appeared online and then everyone knew who she was, I feel like. But then now she's gaining way more traction, maybe like the mainstream. She's just broke like the top one. Is it called the top 100? The top 100? Hot 100?
The Billboard Hot 100, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's just broke that. So like, she's entering the mainstream now, which is something that a lot of queer pop stars kind of never do. Like, obviously, like, everyone in our community knows who like Renee Rapp is and like maybe Janelle Monáe, but they're not really people who like chart in the way that this new song for Chapel is charting. She was originally like scouted like from online and like signed to a record label in like 2017, I think it was. And she was like dubbed like she's going to be the next Lord. And then she made a queer song during lockdown, and I think her like record label were like, oh, this isn't really the direction we wanted to go in, and dropped her. And then she continued, like, hustling. Like, she was working a day job and then also, like, doing small intimate shows at night. And, like, kind of the word of mouth spread through her, like, online presence. But as well as, like, she's got, like, an amazing live show, which I think is, like, why she's going viral off the Coachella thing. Because everyone's like, oh, this is sick to see live. As well as just, like, the music standing up is, like, really good on its own. Which is surprising because I feel like there's a lot of things that people always, like, complain about live music at the minute. But... yeah, so she's just kind of like been slowly building like this kind of cult following almost online of like queer women and queer men and queer people, but primarily queer women because she's a queer woman who sings explicitly about her experience as a queer woman. And then obviously this song, she's then supported Olivia Rodrigo, I think twice. This is her second time around supporting her on tour.
No, I don't think so.
I think it is because she said to me she'd done it before.
Well, there was a graph, lol, so some like man obviously has made a graph to correlate like her success and her listeners over time, but it also only goes to November last year, which seems really harsh. And she started opening for Olivia Rodrigo in February 23. Oh wait, that's last year, right?
Yeah, she did last year and then she's like back on tour with it for the Guts tour.
Oh no, I think it's meant to be like the 23rd of February.
Oh, like American writing.
Because they're American, they've written it weird. Yeah. So before the tour, she had like 1.5 million followers. And now, oh no, sorry, Spotify monthly listeners. And now, April 12th, just after Coachella, she has 5 million monthly Spotify listeners.
It's which, like 5.5 now.
Yeah, it's going up so quickly. And between that, we've had the opening for Olivia Rodrigo, the Tiny Desk performance, Good Luck Babe released, and the Coachella performances.
Yeah, and she did like, oh sorry, did you just say about her being on the telly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, oh no, she did like a late night show.
Yeah, she did like a late night with Seth Meyers, or like one of those kind of ones that we don't really have here, but I remember that went very well because of how good the set design, obviously like her performance style is, like just really resonates, I think, with people.
Yeah, I feel like it's really interesting because she has such a clear aesthetic vision, which is something that's a bit not rare because everyone does have aesthetic visions, but it seems like Chappell's kind of like whole thing as a pop star in that she's like very influenced by drag and she seems like very influenced by DIY culture as well. And it seems like some of it at least comes from like a bit of a rookie aesthetic. That's something quite new. Like Olivia Rodrigo's done very down the line, kind of Petra Collins, teen, girly, which also I love, by the way, so none of this is shade. I'd say like Renee Rapp doesn't really have that much of an aesthetic, but people are probably going to come for me for that.
She's probably got an aesthetic that we just haven't registered, or it's not like quite as bold, or I suppose isn't something that maybe like aligns so much with what we're looking for in aesthetics.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Chappell Roan's literally just like made for me and you and polyester people directly. So
yeah, literally like cooked up in a lab, like what would they like? Brrr. And then all the cogs turn, and then like a machine like spire out and was like, here you go. But then I guess what's interesting is, did the machine spit her out?
No, don't be nasty.
Did the machine spit her out? I don't think it did, but I think it's going to lead to lots of copycats. Like, I can see it already. Like, there's going to be a lot of people replicating this aesthetic, which is like, I'm kind of like getting a bit cynical already of like what's going to be the future for queer pop representation. Because as soon as like these companies or labels see that something sells, they just all start trying to like monopolize on it. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know, I feel like we're on the edge of maybe something strange going to happen.
Yeah, well, even like this week on Twitter, Seaham put up like a throwback to our Rachel Sennett photo shoot, which was like really influenced by Delight.
Yeah.
That's her name, right, Jean?
Yeah.
Like that was on my mood board. That was basically like the main reference on my mood board. And everyone was like quote tweeting being like, she's copying Chappell. It's like, oh my god, this aesthetic did not originate with her.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's, I think her fans are gonna be really rabid and weird. Like I can just see it happening already, and I feel really bad for her because like when I interviewed her, when I was doing my research for that interview, which was like in September, I think, she didn't, I want to say it's Cosmopolitan, but I might be wrong, but I didn't include it in my actual finished write-up, but I asked her like she's basically gone on the record and said, like, oh, I feel really weird, like, with some of my fans. They give me too much TMI. They're too, like, parasocial. She was like, Chapel Rowan's a character. Me as Kaylee's quite reserved, like, shy, like, quiet. Like, I don't really like talking about sex. Like, I don't really put myself out there. Chapel Rowan's persona, but so many, as, like, a figurehead for, like, lesbian pop now. And this has only grown so much since September. So I can only imagine where she is now. She's like, it's something that's, she felt like a bit on the precipice about, because she didn't say she was about to blow up. I said, like, you're about to blow up, like, are you scared? And she was kind of like, yeah, it's a bit nerve-wracking, like, thinking how many people are gonna assume this, like, connection with her, and it's not even her, like, it's a persona.
That's really interesting, because there's this article on Billboard called Not Just Luck, Why Queer Pop Star Chapel Rowan Broke Through to the Hot 100 and Why It Matters by Hannah Jocelyn, and it's kind of saying the opposite. Like, it's like, oh, she really worked hard at it for ages. So basically what you said, so she was positioned as the next Lorde after a 2017 single, moved to LA, Pink Pony Club came out, which is like a queer song, like a gay song, very specifically, and I feel like it has like quite a lot of references that maybe a straight audience wouldn't fully grasp on first listen, if that makes sense. Like, it's very specifically catered for a queer audience, I would say. But then she had to move home, and like, a lot of people are like, oh my god, overnight success, but really she's been kind of like chipping away at it. But at the same time, she compares herself to Hannah Montana quite a lot because of what you said, like, Kaylee is like a different person to Chapel Rowan. But this kind of leads me to, I feel like we're in a really interesting, the queer pop like renaissance, and the sapphic pop renaissance specifically, is bringing back a type of like fandom and a type of earnest appreciation for musicians that has kind of been uncool to do for a while. Like, I feel like because we're in the circles we're in, we've always seen like Arena Sawayama stan or like rabid Charlie XCX stans, but it hasn't been like my whole Twitter feed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's also those kind of, I feel like there's like a touch of irony to that kind of like standing. Like, you'd go see Charlie XCX and you'd bring a bottle of poppers for her to sign, but you'd go see Chapel Rowan and be like, you're amazing. Like, what you're doing is incredible. Like, thank you. Like, you'd just want to be earnest back to her, because that's what, like, what she's given out into the universe.
Yeah, and I think her kind of aesthetic and whole persona doesn't really lend itself to irony that much. Like, her lyrics are very passionate, and like, even if they are full of jokes, they're not like ironic jokes. They're not winking at the audience or trying to get one over on the audience.
Yeah, there's definitely like an element of emotion in them, and I think that's interesting, because she said to me, and she said like lots of times, that like a lot of the stories are just like made up. Like, she likes storytelling, like, because so many of the songs are narrative. Like, I think the emotions are true, but a lot of the stories aren't. And it's interesting that like not everyone who's listening to her, but a lot of the people who do listen to her and get really enjoy her music can like cut through to that core as well. Like, you don't need the stories to be true. Whereas we had like a really interesting article on the Dollhouse about like the authenticity of like pop stars, like sad pop stars, like by Genius and stuff, and being like, people don't see that as like much of putting on a show as like, say, Chapel Rowan. But why would we take their storytelling for being real, and Chapel's is not, because of like the aesthetic? And I thought that was really interesting, because I feel like both inspire like the same amount of emotions in me. But it's like, in a wider context, you can imagine people like seeing Chapel as having like an art, like, would look at her and think that it'd be artificial, but then when you listen to the music, there's like that core of emotion that she's done really well at like getting across, I think.
Yeah, that's really, this whole time I'm just like silently laughing at us trying to do up music journalism in this episode.
I'm just like telling what other people have written for us.
And me, a notoriously miss, I don't like music.
I know, Ione, who doesn't have her own Spotify account, Gambo.
I don't have my own Spotify account, I don't walk around with headphones, but I do like music.
Yeah, you like an album, and then we listen to it for like 3 weeks, and then you're like, right, I've got a favourite single now, can that go in the mix? And then we gradually like turn into a new album. I don't think that disqualifies us anyway. I think like, we're, as fans of something, it's worth looking into why you're fans of it. And like, if we can do it for movies and stuff like that, I don't think we're too far removed from being able to do it about musicians either, just because we're not specialties in it.
So Chapel Rowan is contrary to our beliefs, not the only lesbian pop star that has made a splash at Coachella in particular. So Renee Rapp, who we have spoken about on this podcast before, but feels like a very Gen Z pop star, like, or celebrity more than anything. Like, I feel like people like Chappell have a bit more crossover, but Renee Rapp is very Gen Z in my mind.
Are you saying that because you don't get it?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't really get it. I like, well, I don't know, but like, I like that Pretty Girl song, and I like her album cover.
Now, I'll be honest, I haven't listened to any of the songs.
But I didn't, yeah, I've not really like got fallen hook, line, and sinker for her. Oh, personality sounds so harsh, but do you know what I mean?
Her persona.
Yeah, her persona. I've not really like bought into.
I watched the new Mean Girls. For my sins, and it was really, really bad. Like,
was she bad, terrible, in it?
Apart from Avantika, who was amazing, and our cover girl. I mean, she wasn't bad, but like, she wasn't good either. Like, I wouldn't say, wow, that's an incredible performance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough. I've not watched her constantly.
I think they should have just done more with it. Like, and tried to make it more different to the original, and that's just my opinion on it. Like, the only thing they tried to change about her was
her outfits.
The styling, yeah, which is probably more Renee than, you know, like, production. Well, it's both, but you know what I mean? Like, she probably led that change rather than it being a production-specific change.
Yeah, and I remember lots of people kicking off about the costume.
Yeah, like, I'm not even saying it was good. Anyway, so she has been kind of going through this journey in which originally she was bi, and then now she's like fully a lesbian, and then it kind of feels like it's culminated in this Coachella set. She had like scissoring imagery all over her set, like in the AV, and then she also bought like Kesha out, and everyone was like,
did she? That's amazing.
Yeah, she bought Kesha out, and they changed the lyric of "Wake up in the morning feeling like P Diddy" to "Wake up in the morning like fuck P Diddy."
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
way to ruin a great song.
No one should ever reference another person, like another famous person, in their song ever.
Well, maybe if they're dead, you know that they were fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, still though, you might not know.
Why? What dead people gossip have you got?
No, wait, like, Jimmy Savile, that all came out after he died.
They were waiting on that, though, weren't they?
I don't know how we've gotten so far.
Right, carry on. Kesha, she brought Kesha out and she left scissoring.
And then Billie Eilish teased gay music, which is, yeah.
Go for it.
And has been, like, walking around kind of dressed a lot more butch-coded. And obviously she was like quote unquote forced to come out last year, which was a bit of a contentious thing anyway, because she openly spoke about it in the interview and then was asked on a red carpet. People who have listened to the pod for a long time will remember, because we spoke about it at the time, right?
Yeah.
But Seaham put in the notes, which Seaham did this week again. Thank you, Seaham. Also Seaham, lesbian pop scholar. So Billy kind of is one of the people that has a history for being queer baited and like accused of queer baiting. And something that was interesting to me is that in this new conversation of the lesbian pop renaissance, which is what I'm calling it, is that there has been no accusations of queer baiting.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really interesting, especially because I feel like not like a year, 2 years ago, everyone fucking left, right and centre, unless you were very explicitly saying that you were queer. But then I guess these pop girlies are. They're having to be very explicit to not be accused of that, I suppose.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, it's like, I suppose, well, I don't know, because Renee is doing, like, very physical acts of it, which is what, like, I don't know, I always just go back to Madonna and Britney. Like, they did that, and then that was queerbaiting, quote-unquote. But then I remember ages ago I saw this tweet, and you know when a tweet just sticks out in your head forever, and it was literally just, real people can't queerbait, and it's like,
it's true.
Yeah. That's true.
I saw in one of the researchers, someone who's, I've only put the last name down in my, like, thoughts doc, her last name's Watercutter, notes that it's through online presence and straightforward lyrics that they're, like, getting made these, like, iconoclastic, as lesbians. And I thought that's like makes it sound so like pandering, like straightforward lyrics. Now everyone knows you're gay. Mm-hmm. Like there's no like, you, like I feel like a massive thing of like in the 70s and 80s music kind of was a bit more less straightforward because people couldn't come out, but also like it's a bit more fun like decoding music, whereas like straightforward lyricism maybe, and I'm not saying this about Chapel, I love Chapel, but is it fair that they have to do that now? Like, is that an outcome of queerbaiting, I suppose, or something that I've been thinking about?
I mean, it's probably not an outcome of queerbaiting, let's be honest, like, because also to take like a straight on straight example, it's that like no one says this about Olivia Rodrigo, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's also a very narrative songwriter. Lord, another very narrative songwriter. I think there's just different types of songwriting. And personally, like, I fucking hate Boy Genius. Anyone who knows me will know I'm number one Boy Genius. I really like straightforward lyricism and storytelling in songs. Like, I find that way more appealing. So I think it's just, you know, different stuff that floats your boat.
Yeah, what appeals to you.
Different strokes.
As, like, a creative and also... That's what I think, though, we are on the edge of, like, people being, like, those remember that Macklemore song? Like, that's kind of music that's going to come back around.
What Macklemore song?
Like, One Love, one being like, it's okay to be gay. One Love, people love each other. One Love, like, the one that they spoofed in Popstar Never Stop, the best film ever made. I feel like we're like the like these women are pioneering being explicitly queer in mainstream pop music, which is going to lead to like some really hellish tunes.
But then also we already are existing in a timeline when that exists, so we would be remiss not to mention JoJo Siwa. Cause a bitch,
go on.
I should've known better.
It sounds like a song from like Community, doesn't it? Like it just doesn't sound real.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
You just love narrative storytelling.
It's such a good earworm. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And what's your point?
In that, like, you're saying that we're going to see an era of commercialised gay pop music when we have JoJo Siwa running about saying, I'm inventing gay pop music.
As she shows.
And, like... I feel like there's just different audiences for different things, and where people get confused is that, like, Chapel is breaking into the mainstream or the Hot 100s or the charts, so therefore, I think... It's easy to lump her in with like a JoJo Siwa, but then you'd never kind of compare, I don't know, like a Beyonce to someone bad.
Yeah, I guess it all boils down to is like gay people can also have bad art.
Yeah, 100%. We've already said this in the Dylan episode. Like JoJo Siwa is cringe as fuck, obviously, and it's so funny, and I'm glad it's a meme. But we're kind of already there in terms of we have every single version of a thing.
Yeah.
The world doesn't exist how it did exist in the 80s or the 90s, where it was like Sleater Kinney existed and Riot Girl was an original like groundswell movement, which then was capitalized on by music labels that wanted to create copies of it, because everything is there at the same time now because of the internet.
Yeah, that's so true.
We have access to it all, and it's up to us to choose our own adventure.
Oh, I used to love Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Yeah,
you never see them anymore.
Oh yeah, this leads me to two very important points though, in which I'd say that, like, one, this is not the first, like, lesbians in pop have existed for a long time. You know, Tegan and Sara. Oh yeah, because did you see that TikTok Tegan and Sara did where it was like yeah. the clip of JoJo Siwa being like, I'm inventing gay pop music, and then they were just like,
yeah, they're just like leaning into the camera.
The point is, while there have been like lesbian music, because obviously like some of these steer towards more alternative, is that there hasn't been like a groundswell moment where so many mainstream figures or people are breaking into an extremely mainstream space. So the Billboard article I quoted says, like, you know, queer pop stars exist, Rina exists, all of like other people, Muna, Girl in Red, but they never cross over into the main charts. So like, what makes Chapel Roan different, which is something that we've obviously addressed in our own way in this episode.
Yeah, I think my final thoughts, like, towards the end of reading the research, are just...
We're not at the end.
Oh, go on. We're almost at the end of the episode.
Yeah, but we've still got 5 minutes. Make them all count.
I was going to say my point that we could discuss.
Okay, go on.
Jesus. I was also thinking, like, reading all of this, like, whether I think visibility... Obviously, I think representation is good, but I'm not sure how I feel about visibility after kind of, like, watching... the rise of Drag Race, and then, like, alongside it, the rise of, like, some really vitriolic views on drag and queer people.
Well, what's your point, sorry?
Like, I'm worried about it. Like, the more visible that we make ourselves as queer people, like, it seems the more, like, backlash we get.
Well, I think we exist in a world as well in which we correlate success with popularity and like mainstream success. And for someone like Chapel Roan or Renee Rapp, who are very obviously like commercial pop stars, that makes sense. But I don't think we can diminish the cultural importance of like less famous but very influential stars that have come before them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is a straightforward moment of like, this is visibility, which means everything will get better. It's just like a continuation of a rich history that has already been built upon. And saying that, before we finish, I'd like to mention that, like, this is quite obviously very white. Like,
yeah, it's so funny you said that, because I've literally, my last sentence is, why do we mark our success by straight parameters and goals? What about all the queer musicians who don't want to be commercialized? Opening doors just means making more money.
But there's also like a whole host of, you know, non-white musicians and artists that have been dealing in like sapphic lyricism forever that haven't had any sort of mainstream break because they're not dealt the same cards.
Oh, 100%. As
their white counterparts. So
100%.
Counterparts. So this isn't like a breakthrough moment of the system changing. It's just that, you know, the most common denominator is getting a chance to rise to the top.
Do you think that like this will lead into there being more specifically lesbian pop stars then, or do you think it will just be like a memory that we have, like, oh, remember when we had that like really cool out pop star, like kind of like how we look back at like George Michael or whatever?
It depends. I mean, I think thinking like that kind of reverts back to what we were saying about like people being invented in the pop factory, and there is like a huge machine obviously that decides who's famous and who's not in terms of like label support and blah, 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 blah. Maybe it's just that like more people are more comfortable being out as well, because as you said, like so many pop stars, musicians, especially women, when like all of women's marketing is based on their sexuality and like how they can be read as sexy, like, you know, the days of like Harry Styles not being allowed to say he had a girlfriend or whatever, that very much applied to women as well, and not being able to, you know, be anything apart from a sexually available person.
Oh my god, I actually know a band that this applies to.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you tell us?
No, I'll tell you after.
Oh, Gina, that's so mean.
I can't tell you someone else's... can't out someone on the podcast.
Fucking hell, don't scream. Yeah, so whether... hopefully it just leads for like more autonomy in the pop machine, but who can say?
Yeah, we're not... we're far from experts on predicting the trends of the pop industry, I suppose. But there's just... we've just got to have hope that it does... signal that more people are comfortable being their authentic selves, I suppose.
Yeah, that would be my point as well, I'd say.
Thank you, Ione.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you to Olivia for editing and to Siham for the beautiful research.
Thank you to everyone for listening, supporting, loving and reviewing.
And sorry if you can hear my cat, we're recording at home today and he's so noisy.
He is so cute though. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.